The new senior hockey reporter at TSN, Frank Saravelli, joins us. Frank, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you? Appreciate the Brass Bonanza intro there. Usually I get the Philadelphia Freedom or the Rocky theme song as I got this morning on Toronto radio.
Well, hey, it's Positive Friday on our show. Every break on Positive Fridays is a Brass Bonanza because it gets everybody in a good mood. So you love it. We had Rocky Thompson on, and I read your article about it, how he talked how nervous he was. Interesting thing about Thompson is here's a guy who, rough and tumble player, but really basically got himself a job because of his presentation at the coaches' symposium.
Yeah, he did, and he really blew away a lot of the coaches there, and to the point where, you know, some of the best coaches in the league are going up to him afterwards saying how much they appreciated his conversation and what he brought to the table, and that's not an easy thing to do. And I think on top of that, it just speaks to, you know, really the person that he is and how smart he is, because, you know, a lot of people would probably look at a guy like him and say, hey, you know, he didn't have a lot of skill on the ice. He used his knuckles to make it as far as he did. I think he played 25 games in the league and, you know, maybe played 36 or maybe 80 minutes in his entire NHL career. But the fact that he got there without that skill and was able to, you know, make a decent pro career out of it speaks to the fact that he was, as he was sitting there in the locker room, he was paying attention and listening, and he's obviously a pretty intellectual guy, a smart guy. Really appreciated my own conversation with him. Just to have those guys that, you know, were able to make it that far just based on listening and rather than their talent, really speaks volumes to him, and kudos to him.
Yeah, well, we've had Rocky on the show for many years, and he definitely, I think, to his credit, he loved talking about the role he played because, you know what, he was good at it. He was great at intimidating, but, you know, his words, he really, I think, kind of broke the stereotype of being just, you know, a thug who, without much intelligence. Very bright guy.
Well, very bright guy, and you know what's funny? You know, in my years covering the game, the people that are my favorite to talk to are the enforcers. And you have to, it's almost like part of the requirement, aside from being tough and intimidating, is being a good person and a good teammate. And there's very few guys that I've ran across in my career that, you know, good people, some of the most outgoing and fun people to talk to. You know, Rocky Thompson was certainly in that category with my phone conversation. I didn't know him much, but heard a lot about him beforehand. But guys like Jody Shelley or even one of the guys that came through Philly last year, Ryan White, he was a tougher player who racked up some penalty minutes. You know, all the fighters, Riley Cote, throughout my career that I've had a chance to speak to, it's been some of my most enjoyable time spent in the locker room.
Frank Saravelli joins us. Frank, we've kind of had a complete stoppage in the unrestricted free agency. There, you know, there's big day one, and after that, it's kind of screeched to a halt, and there's some pretty big names. Cody Franson, to most people, you know, TSN had him ranked in their top five UFAs available, and he still hasn't got a contract, and I know his camp's not overly concerned yet, but all the teams really have done their spending, and even with some quality players out there, they've really put the brakes on, and I wonder if it's, you know, maybe they're waiting for with the arbitration rulings, but more so, it seems like teams are now trying to position themselves to get trades and pick the carcasses of the teams that are in cap trouble.
Well, that's the big thing, and I think that's why, you know, you've seen a change and a focus and change in focus this summer for teams. You know, these cap teams, rather than spend money on, you know, some of the unrestricted free agents that are out there, they're taking their time and effort and energy and dollars and focusing that on their restricted players. And we've seen that with the big contract signed for Tarasenko, for Saad, for Dougie Hamilton in Calgary. You know, that's been the biggest trend of the summer. And to see that market grind to a halt, as you said, really since July 1, the only guy to really sign a worthwhile deal has been Joel Ward, if I'm not mistaken, on the unrestricted market. And I'm stunned that a guy like Franzen is still available and on the market, because he's 27, he's 6'5", he's a right-handed shot D who put up more points than Matt Beleski last season. So the fact that he's a guy that hasn't found a deal, I think he's every bit of a $5 million player in this league, speaks to the cap trouble that teams have had, and also the focus that the shift and trend that teams are focusing more on their young players, because it is a young man's league now.
It definitely is a young man's league, and when you're a 27-year-old defenseman, you know, with that much experience, you would think that teams would be a lot like the Boston Bruins. They've got to improve their blue line, don't they?
you would think Boston, I mean, another team that I would look at is probably the Kings. They got, you know, at least at this point, Voinov's contract isn't on the books. Mike Richards' contract, as far as we know now, has been terminated. We're still pending to hear, you know, what could happen in terms of an NHLPA grievance. But they're a team that, you know, they lost Justin Williams. They didn't re-sign Sequeira. You would think that they would be a team that would be interested in Cody Franzen at this point. And the fact that they haven't, or no one's been able to sign him to a deal speaks to, you know, his expectations had to have dropped considerably, because if you're Cody Franzen, a guy who didn't sign until July 21st last year as a restricted free agent, he finally is thinking, oh man, I'm going to get to the market and I'm going to get paid and I'm going to, he's been operating on a series of 1 year deals. He's probably looking for term at this point. You would have to think that his best play moving forward, if it's to get something done now, would be a one-year deal for probably a higher number if he could get it. And a team like L.A. would be probably, you know, a great fit for a team that's looking to get back in the playoff mix.
Which team do you think has improved the most so far in the offseason? Excluding the Oilers, because they were near the bottom.
Well, I think the other team would be the Sabres. I really like what they did. They had three first-round picks in March or in February and ended up turning them into Evander Kane, Robin Lehner, and, of course, Jack Eichel. So they're a pretty strong team down the middle. They fixed their need in net and goaltending just like the Oilers. And on top of that, I really like the moves that the Capitals made as well. Justin Williams, TJ Oshie, that team, it was already a highly skilled team. It's going to be a really fun team to watch moving forward, and they were one of my sort of dark horse teams for the playoffs that I thought a lot of teams really wouldn't have wanted to play. They got past the Islanders, of course, but, you know, I think they're looking for a much deeper run, and the fact that Alex Ovechkin has never made it to the conference final in his career, you would think that would have to change next season.
You look at some of the other decisions out there. Everybody's looking at Chicago, right? I know Brent Seabrook and the Chicago Blackhawks, his camp and the Blackhawks are going to discuss contract extension or, you know, what the Hawks' thoughts are and everything next week. Do you see him staying past the end of this contract in Chicago?
It's going to be a really tough thing because logic would dictate that at this point, after not having to re-sign Saad, that they would have a bit more cap space or cap flexibility moving forward. And he's part of that core four of their team with, you know, Kane and Taves and Keith, and then it's Seabrook. And he's really been one of the anchors for them. You know, it remains to be seen what happens with Oduya, but he's obviously waiting to see if the Hawks can free up some flexibility for him. But if they can't sign him to a long-term deal this summer, a long-term extension, he's got to be looking at least enough money, you would think. 7 years, $49 million. I think he could probably get more than that on the open market. But in order to stay there, that's what you would think you would have to get. He just turned 30. Yeah, obviously a tremendous player. But what happens if they can't? Or what happens if the Blackhawks are slowly coming to a realization that it's going to be a lot harder to do, especially if the salary cap isn't going to be going up considerably if the Canadian dollar drops even further? What happens then? Do you try and move him this summer and try and maximize your return for him? I would think that would be a logical step if they'd make the determination, or if the two sides make the determination, that they're really far apart. And I know that that sounds crazy based on the player that he is, but, you know, also in April, May, and June, everyone was saying Stan Bowman would rather, you know, give his right arm than try and trade Brandon Saad. So, you know, that, of course, came to fruition. So you wonder what kind of path they're heading down in Chicago now with Seabrook.
Yeah, you know what? No one expected Saad. And Seabrook with Oduya kind of waiting in the wings. And if you're Brent Seabrook and you look at Kane and Taves are making in cash $13.8 million next year, right? That the 10.5 cap, it has really put the Hawks in this tough situation. Two players making $21 and $71 million on their team. And I just wonder if Brent Seabrook looks around and says, you know what, I've won a lot. Hey, I'll pick a place where I think I can win, but also where I can cash in.
Yeah, and that would be my thinking at this point. I mean, he's certainly been underpaid at his cap hit at $5.8 million, but, you know, after three cups, I would be probably looking for a payday as well. So, you know, like you said, pick a market that you can get to that you think that they're close or they're certainly a market on the rise. Get your money and try and win again. But, you know, if he were to never win again, he's had a great run with three cups, more than a lot of people could ever ask for. Three cups and an Olympic gold medal before the age of 30.
Yeah, he's had an outstanding career already. There's always a concern of guys getting older and miles and everything like that. And, you know, Seabrook was dominant in the playoffs again. And you know what? Maybe in the regular season at times his play will go down. But to me, I talked to nine scouts and GMs and management types over the last few days for an article I wrote, and every one of them said he's a top 30 defenseman. What do you think?
Top 30 defenseman? Is that what you said? Top 30?
Yeah.
I think he's probably... He made Canada's Olympic team last year, is that 2014? So, I mean, I'd have him in my top 10. I'm not sure that there's, 10 guys that are better than Brent Seabrook in the NHL.
Well, I like a lot of the elements that he brings up. You know, the Oilers, I know, are a team that if he's available, and we'll find out after the negotiations start, where he's at and where the Hawks are at, the Dallas Stars, the Philadelphia Flyers, the Boston Bruins. Those are some teams that when you look to say, okay, who desperately needs a top pairing defenseman, I'm not sure there's four teams that are more desperate for a top pair than those four.
Those guys just don't grow on trees, and I think that's what everyone's realizing. You either draft a guy... or you're going to have to trade for him, because it's really unlikely that you're going to get him on the market. And, you know, it's possible that a couple of those guys could end up getting to the market next summer. I think Bufflin is another guy that has his contract expiring after next season. I'm not totally sure on that, but I think he's in that group. And, you know, you can't get a guy like Brent Seabrook on the market usually.
Frank, always good to talk to you. Enjoy maybe some summertime off for you soon.
Yeah, no, sorry about that. If you heard my kids screaming, we're in the car.
It's all good.
On the way to the beach. So certainly looking to a little time off.